True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, the Royals continue their series in Cleveland tonight against the Guardians. Of course, they got rocked last night 10-2. 5:40 first pitch tonight. Noah Cameron on the mound. Vern's on deck show 4:30 right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Next up on What's Trending, Broncos owners Greg and Kerry Penner announced a preferred site for an upcoming new stadium project in Burnham Yards area. Is apparently the preferred site. They're claiming it'll be a privately funded retractable roof stadium and mixed-use district. The two most important things are they're privately funded. Now, I would say this is the argument between new money and old money in the NFL, which we can get into if you want, and talk about that a little bit. More importantly, retractable roof, which means if the Chiefs have to travel to Denver in December, that would mean nothing anymore in a couple of years because it would be dome. Dome for Vegas, dome for LA, and retractable roof, meaning if the weather is untenable in Denver, dome for there. Patrick Mahomes would be sitting at three indoor stadiums if that were the case. Now, obviously, it'd take a few years to complete, but they've got a preferred site, and they're privately funded retractable roof is the current plan.
Yeah, downtown Denver is the site. I'll be curious to see more details, because if it is truly no catch or anything, privately funded, and that, and you know, then that's what it is. That's awfully impressive. We've gone through it. We've talked about this, with the exception of like, the Warriors Arena out in the Bay Area, Chase Arena,
Jerry World.
Jerry World still had some private. Okay. Arlington still had some money involved in that, but it wasn't. That wasn't fully private. Was the Warriors and a few others that have been out there. This would be one of the rare NFL stadiums that are privately funded. So I'm curious, make sure there's not any like catch. It sounds great on paper, though, doesn't it? Privately funded, no new taxes, 2031, downtown Denver. We'll see. We'll see if that's actually the case, but that's impressive if that actually happens, and probably would put them in play, maybe, to even be able to get a Final Four or a Super Bowl. Meanwhile, in Kansas City, we're all still just waiting for both franchises to make a decision on what they are going to do. Elsewhere on What's Trending, the Eagles did make another trade heading into Sunday's game against the Chiefs, acquiring running back Tank Bigsby in exchange for a 2026 fifth and sixth round pick. That, according to Shefty last night, has now been confirmed. Bigsby kind of was going to run out of favor there. They drafted a running back. Also, ETN looked good. And for the Eagles, Shipley got hurt. He's their backup to Barkley, so this trade makes sense all the way around.
And there was some thought going into the year that the Eagles might try to protect Saquon Barkley's carry total this year, knowing what they put on him last season. We'll see if that's actually true. Next up on What's Trending, the officials from the Kansas-Missouri game have officially been put off of their game in the upcoming college football weekend. That was after several missed calls were noticed by the college football official committee. So they will not work this weekend after blowing several calls in their estimation in the Kansas and Missouri game, including that ball that they didn't call a backwards slap backwards on the safety play eventually that dinged Kansas, and the free kick they authorized later in the game as well.
Here's what, and I was texting with someone about this on that, like, it didn't change the game drastically on the free kick part. The batted ball did, no doubt, but I'm talking about the free kick. Can someone explain to me if the officials, and they were Big 12 officials, not SEC, these were Big 12 officials, they allowed Missouri a punt on a free kick violation. Why was Missouri even trying that? Like, why was Missouri thinking they could get away with it to begin with? That's what I guess I'm confused by.
I don't know. It's very weird. I don't disagree, but
like, I would wonder, like, what if the rule was the rule, but Missouri did it anyway? Why were they trying to do it to begin with?
I don't remember. But either way, the officials got kicked off of the game. They're gonna stay home this weekend.
Okay,
get some training.
On what's trending, more stadium news. The Bears informed fans hours before their opener yesterday. They plan to leave Soldier Field, finalizing a stadium in Arlington Heights for a Super Bowl bid. Now, they got a lot of work to do still there, but that is their plan. They sent out this letter right before kickoff yesterday against the Vikings, and then a few hours later, they would blow a lead and lose to J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings.
I will say that stadium doesn't have a great reputation. It's so funny how much newer those stadiums are, Arlington and New Mile High, as it relates to Arrowhead. Because as you pointed out, and maybe that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold, because we can talk about that here again in a minute. But Beau Rue Asian Eatery in Waldo is our Taco Tuesday lunch partner here on Cody and Gold. Our Taco Tuesday partner, obviously part of the Summit Hospitality Group. And I know what you're thinking. Taco Tuesday at an Asian restaurant. Think Bao Buns, the fluffier Asian taco. Head down to Beau Rue and grab a Bao Bun for just $2.50. Or switch it up. Get some ramen or sushi while you're there. Summit Hospitality Group, proud partner of Cody and Gold. But the stadium stuff, it's like the Chiefs would just be playing all indoor stadiums. If they renovated Arrowhead, they'd be in the oldest stadium by a mile. But if not, then the Chiefs would also do retractable roof. And maybe we're just barreling towards this in the NFL.
Yes.
Weather will matter anywhere but Buffalo, who's building a new stadium right now, and it's still fully outdoor.
Here's what I was trying to go through. So here's what's outdoor still in the league. So the Steelers Stadium, it's still outdoor. It opened in 2001. I haven't seen any plans that they want to change that. The Raiders, obviously, is indoor. So Arrowhead would be the second outdoor stadium. Bank of America Stadium, Carolina, although I think they're trying to maybe get a new one, but that's the third. Mile High currently is the fourth. That's going to go away. So three. Jacksonville is four. Gillette Stadium, five. Hard Rock Stadium, six. They're in Miami. Highmark Stadium, even the new one, will be outdoors, is seven. Cleveland, they're looking to go retractable, but right now it's the eighth. Lambeau is nine.
And Lambeau won't go retractable.
Niners is 10. Financial Field, Eagles is 11. Seattle is outdoors. Lumen Field, that's 12. Baltimore's outdoor, 13.
You're talking about a lot of temperate climates.
Yeah. You know? MetLife is outdoor in New York, that's 14. The Titans are changing to an indoor stadium. Commanders are outdoor. I can keep going and bore you.
For now, but they're going to build a new stadium, and it's not going to be outdoor anymore. It's going to be a retractable roof. Commanders, aren't they building a new?
They're trying to.
Yeah.
Cincinnati is outdoors. And then that's it.
Half the league. But all the new stadium projects, everyone's like, retractable roof.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, I already counted for the ones that are switching. So there'll be about 10 to 12 left that are outdoors in some capacity within the next 5 to 8 years. And that'll be going down, I think, as we go through this more and more. We're going to see owners that want to have the Final Four, that want to have the ability to have concerts year-round.
I will say it would not be a good day for the Chiefs to announce their public-private partnership of a stadium, knowing that the Denver Broncos just announced a fully private. Now, like you said,
I want to find out the exact detail. What massive incentive is the owner is getting to do that? It's not just, they're not, let's be real.
They get like a huge land grant or something else. Yeah, sure. I don't know.
Yeah. Are they getting the land for free? You know, like what's happening there? I honestly don't know. We're not in Denver, but interesting.
They're calling it a private funded stadium.
If that is the case, props to them for doing that. Absolutely. If it is truly fully privately funded, that is awesome.
I still think so far that the privately funded stadiums have come from new money NFL going in there. So last thing on what's trending, although it just happened, the 49ers did officially place Pro Bowl tight end George Kittle on injured reserve, meaning he will now miss at least the next four games. Obviously, he hurt his hamstring over Seattle over the weekend. So Kittle out for at least 4 weeks. Brock Purdy questionable for the game on Sunday.
Yep.
So already trouble for the 49ers.
We'll get into that more during All 32. I was going to bring that up as my All 32. But let's talk about Isaiah Pacheco a little bit in this backfield. Yesterday, we didn't talk a ton about the running game, the lack of running game against the Chargers in Brazil. They only ran the ball 11 times, and Pacheco got the ball 5 times in that. And I'm not sitting here telling you that they need to run it 30 times a game. That's not at all what my point is. But we had this convo at times last year, too. you got to have some sort of complimentary running game going. Now, Pacheco ended up with 5 carries, 25 yards, and you're like, yeah, 5 yards per carry. One of them was 10 yards, so it skews it quite a bit when you only have 5 carries. But even if you don't believe he's capable of having an explosive rushing play, and we'll get to the numbers that actually Carrington mentioned yesterday in a second, but you have no chance to get any rhythm if you're getting 5 carries, like none. And I understand you're going to say, well, they were down. They weren't down 28 points though. You know what I mean? Like the game was, they were still in the football game the entire game. So this idea, like they had to go away from the run. I disagree with that notion, but
it was 12-13 at one point and they didn't keep running it.
They haven't gotten an explosive run from a back in a very long time. Carrington crunched the numbers yesterday. I'll give him credit for this. 295 carries between Pacheco and Hunt. 1 carry during that stretch over 20 and 4 over 15 yards. They don't get explosive plays. It's why in the offseason we discussed we both would have liked them to have found some more explosiveness via the draft at the running back position. Now, it's one game. I still think Pacheco can be fine as their back. I really do. 5 carries, you're not even trying.
I think at this point the issue is, one, Andy always forgets about the run. This is one of those things that I used to fight. Going all the way back to when I started sports radio here, like 10 years ago in this town, I petitioned to have a job standing on the sideline, just holding up one sign that says Jamal Charles exists. That was with Jamal Charles. He'd forget that we'd get through a game and he'd be like, how'd you only give Jamal the ball 9 times? What game am I watching? What world are we living in? This universe makes no sense. So like, that's always going to be an issue. But in a game like that, in which the explosiveness is a real issue, I think this year, they just thought, Hollywood, Rice, Worthy, we have explosiveness on offense. That's not our problem. We can make ground and pound running style 5 yards at a time work here. We don't need the guy who gets 70 yards on the ground this time. We'll make it work. But now you're never factoring in the idea that you knew Rice was going to be suspended this entire time. One, fast wide receiver injury away, and your most dynamic playmaker is either Hollywood Brown or Tyquan Thornton, and you can't get it out of the running game is a huge issue. Look, I still think Pacheco's going to have a nice year. I still think Pacheco can have a nice year. But the explosiveness, that's never coming. He's going to have to get it the hard way. I don't think he's going to just start breaking off 20
yards. That's just not who he is. That's not who him or Kareem Hunt are. That's not what either of them are. It's what you were hoping Breshard Smith could eventually give you, and it's one game in the dude's rookie year. So let's not act like we know fully what he is, but right now he obviously isn't a factor in this offense to this point. And then Elijah Mitchell, you know, he may not even be active every single game day and stuff. So
he wasn't active.
That's what I'm saying. So you know, that was our concern about the backfield going in. But I just, you can talk about the O-line all we want. You're not trying to run the ball if you're running it 11 times. I'm sorry. You're just not. Can't say that you view it as a complimentary piece. You can't. And I know they say, you know, the short passes are an extension of the running game. And I get it. I understand.
Just but not if they're all short
now
passes.
You don't have Xavier Worthy. That would be the player that usually you would use that role for. So and we don't know the timeline, obviously, on Worthy yet.
Look, the running game is frustrating, and it would certainly buoy the pass game if they could occasionally break off a deep run. The issue is that everybody's so close to the line of scrimmage, it actually shouldn't even be that hard to break off a deep run. For 2 years, everyone is inside of 20 yards of the line of scrimmage. Single high, except for the one deep safety to prevent the one deep guy for the Chiefs' risk as far as a deep pass goes. Everyone else is too close. And if you're too close, that means you're a couple blocks away from doing this. This goes back to the offensive line, too. We can talk more about them tomorrow because I'm curious at what week we'll make a decision on how improved, if improved, the offensive line is. I saw some of the pressure rates allowed by rookie offensive tackles, what the league average is as it relates to that and how that relates to Simmons. But yeah, you do run into this stuff where you're like,
Pacheco has to be better too.
It's way better.
I mean, look, he only got 5 carries, so some of it is the opportunity, but there, I think Mitchell Schwartz actually, I believe he's
on the Simmons outside run.
Isolated one play, and obviously Mitch knows what the heck he's talking about when it comes to this kind of stuff. And he makes like the vision issue for Pacheco where it's like, There was a gigantic hole to run through, and you went the other way, essentially.
People pointed out he just got to the outside of Simmons. It's a touchdown, and instead he went to the inside.
So I'm not saying Pacheco is immune from
he's a seventh round back. He's probably still got flaws in his game.
From the criticism of this, but as a team, as an offensive philosophy, giving your number one back 5 carries in a football game, not really giving it much of a chance to work either.
I'm not even fighting with the text on there. Like, come on, could you see anything explosive about Hollywood Brown? I didn't say it was a compliment.
Targets.
I didn't say it was a compliment that Hollywood Brown or Tyquan Thornton are the most explosive players. I'm simply stating a fact about who are the most explosive players remaining on the roster. That's part of the issue we're discussing, is that if you had that in the backfield, R.J. Harvey had a 50-yard run. When's the last time you remember a 50-yard run for this team?
Well, I just told you. I mean, Carrington put up the last 295 carries from Pacheco or Hunt. They've had one carry over 20 yards.
Was it even 50? Or was it like 22?
Oh, there's no way it was 50. There's no way. So there's no way it was 50.
I watched a rookie running back get it in game one. And I'm not saying like Ashton Jeanty didn't have some huge game for the Raiders. I'm not saying every Kroski Marito, he averaged 10 yards a carry. That's halfway there to the other side.
Wasn't the one I'm thinking of is the Jets game when we had the watch party with Vinny 2 years ago is the one that stand. I don't know if that was the last time. I think Pacheco had a long run. Yeah.
Look, I still hope it comes
Jets
at some point.
Chiefs from October 2023.
For some reason, that pops into my head.
Now you got me curious. I'm going to have to
look it up. Let's see what you got, Cold. Do you think it was 50, Drew? What do you think?
Oh, I think it was a big play. I mean, dare I say, it could have been a screen, too, which they also done, too.
Yeah, because Pacheco got 20 carries that game. So they actually, tried to run the football.
Game was too close.
23-20. That was Zach Wilson. Yeah. Pacheco had 20 carries, 115 yards, had a 48-yard run.
Dang,
close.
At a 40. That honestly, that might be the last time they had a run anywhere near
close to
40
that,
yards.
This goes back to the like when people were saying trade for Breece Hall. I just want Breece Hall was great.
I know that. I'm sure I would all.
They were saying that before the season. In fairness, but it's like when you watch him like in that Jets game, you constantly think he might run into a 40-yard run.
In fairness,
it's been a year since they had.
Fairness, though, are we sure that he would even be as productive as he is with the Jets? Like would Andy actually use him? You know what I'm saying?
They'd use him, but they wouldn't use him as much as the Jets do.
I think it sounds, trading for Christian McCaffrey is something to mention. It sounds great, but are we sure that it actually, you're not going to get the same CMC that you're seeing because that's not the offense that they run. Like if they traded for,
there's a few running backs that are good no matter what.
If they traded for, this was obviously wouldn't happen, but if they traded for Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, that would be ridiculously great for the Chiefs. And they would get the same output that they're currently getting at their teams.
It'd be tough, though. Ja'Marr Chase doesn't know the name of the Chiefs quarterback, so it'd be really hard for him to have any rapport.
You're not getting the same output that you're – like, whatever the output that you're seeing, you would get back at wide receiver for the Chiefs, if not more, depending on the level of wide receiver it is. But at running back, you're not going to get that same production. So why would you want to make a trade – why would you want the team to trade for Christian McCaffrey or even – Saquon Barkley, I don't know. They wouldn't use Saquon Barkley the way that they would want, and you would feel unfulfilled.
Drew,
by
I'll say you feel that way because the Chiefs running backs have been below average. Even with Andy Reid, they had a running back who led the league in rushing in Kareem Hunt, and they had one of the better backs in the NFL at the time he was playing in Jamal Charles, and they used him a lot.
I would need to see to believe it, though.
Go back to Andy Reid in Philly. He had Brian Westbrook, who was one of the best backs and most used backs. If he has the guy, he's not afraid to use him. I'm not saying there aren't still games that he's just like, oops, forgot to run. That will always exist with Andy. But he has had, when he has the dude at running back, he is definitely not afraid to find ways to use that.
I guess my only question would be, why hasn't Andy like pounded the table for the third or fourth round
to get,
but I understand that, but why, if he knows that he would utilize good running backs and fast running backs and all these other playmakers, then why is he waiting until the seventh round to take these guys?
It goes back to the issue they have had.
Why is he doing it then?
They have had to commit a lot of resources to the tackle spot. They haven't hit on offensive tackle yet. We think it'll be Simmons. We think, but they have had to invest a ton there because they have not been able to find their long-term answer on the tackle spot. They've used premium picks there. They also still, wide receivers were going to be, if they didn't draft Rice or Worthy, they would have had a major problem.
But you don't have to use a premium pick at running back. You guys have talked about this.
You're preaching to the choir.
Jared Wiley in the fourth round, what the hell are they doing that for?
I don't disagree with that. I think all of us on the show want them to take a running back in round three or four this year. And I know then we can play the game. Well, then who would you want them not to draft? Look, I don't know what Jalen Royals is going to be. He hasn't played yet, right? So we'll find out over time if that was a good pick or not a pick. I just think we already saw something that a lot of people recognized. We saw it play out in week one as potential problem. If you're going to not have a ton of explosiveness on offense, and they couldn't have predicted the Worthy injury. I understand that, right? They didn't. Here's the thing, though. They could have predicted the Rashee Rice suspension. That's the part that it's like, we can't predict injuries. But everybody knew. We didn't know how long. We didn't know when it was going to start.
But he knew.
They knew in April during the draft that Rashee Rice was likely getting suspended.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you they had a better idea of the number of games than even we did at any particular time. Look, if I just had a time machine to go back in time, maybe you don't have to take a guy early, and instead with pick 228, you don't take Breshard Smith and you take Kroski Merritt.
Yeah, I mean, easier said than done.
No, that's,
right?
that's what I was talking about, the same part as the running back stuff. I was saying, and you were saying, that there was less variance in risk by taking a guy in the third, fourth, or fifth round, especially this year. And they just, I didn't feel like they really committed to trying to improve the running back room. That's all.
And I don't think we have to go overboard. None of us are saying they should have drafted a running back in the first round. Trust me, no. I do not want them doing that. I'm good with that. But you can say they should have spent a premium pick without it being pick one. It could be your third round
pick. Dylan Sampson in the third round or whatever the Browns took him.
All right, let's get to a little all 32 on the show. You mentioned, Cody, during what's trending the 49ers situation. Now Kittle is officially on the IL or IR, and Brock Purdy is questionable for Sunday's game. They're playing the Saints, so they could be starting Mac Jones. It could be Mac Jones against Spencer Rattler in New Orleans.
Can we flex that to a hell of a matchup.
That could happen.
Friday evening.
I just bring this up because we did our divisional previews. We were discussing the issue with the Niners is how healthy will they be all year and can they stay healthy? And right away after 1 week, one of the top tight ends in football is going to be out for what, 4+ weeks. And their quarterback, we don't know if he's ruled out for Sunday yet, but Brock Purdy, who played pretty well against Seattle, is now dealing with injury. They already are down multiple receivers. That's why Sky Moore is playing and MVS got signed. Because they got so many injuries. They got Ayuk on the pup list, I think it is. And, you know, you've got some major injuries. Here we are again, the 49ers. Their path for Kyle Shanahan to get back to the postseason is going to be a tough one.
Oh, man. Mac Jones versus Spencer Rattler. It's electric coming up this Sunday in the NFL. I was thinking more about the game last night between the Bears and the eventual winners, the Vikings, in that game. And one thing that absolutely stood out to me as it relates to this and as it relates to the NFL, Ben Johnson learned a very valuable lesson last night, which is the difference between being an offensive coordinator and being a head coach. You have to know all the rules as a head coach, all the strategy as a head coach. And when Cairo Santos put that ball 8 yards deep, and the Vikings played enough time to stand in there and be like, yo, I'm supposed to take this out, right? And to be told by Kevin Connelly, yep, go ahead and take it out. Run the clock out, do all this stuff. This is just one of those, like, we never admit when these big offensive coordinator guys come through that the learning curve between you just have to be in charge of running an offense and finding good plays to call versus you have to do everything and know everything. He helped cost them a game last night. He did not give his team a chance to come from behind because he didn't know the kickoff rule.
Yeah, I mean, for those, basically, there was two minutes and two seconds, so 2 seconds before the two-minute warning. The Bears only had one timeout left, so they needed desperately to obviously have the two-minute warning help them. They got the touchdown before the two-minute warning, but they needed to kick it either in the back of the end zone, out of bounds, and Cairo Santos, Ben Johnson says, he does claim, Ben Johnson post-game, that he told Cairo to do that. So either that's not true, and I actually believe it, or Cairo Santos has no leg anymore to do that. Or you can kick it out of bounds. The new rules, you can even do a squib kick. If it doesn't land in the landing zone, it's just a dead ball. Like, the clock doesn't run or anything. So there were multiple paths.
Squib, onside.
There were multiple paths that, as a head coach. Admittedly, I didn't know about the squib one. I forgot about that. I just said, kick it out of bounds.
It's not your job to know.
But
it is Ben Johnson's.
Know. And one of them would have worked. Instead, like, they may have still ran out the clock on them, but you got to at least give yourself an opportunity. And that was a failure on his part.
Look, we knew Kyle Shanahan didn't know the overtime rules in a playoff. So, like, I mean, things happen, but, like, it's never a good look that your first game as an NFL head coach, you're like, oops, he didn't know the rules.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think he did Caleb Williams many favors because Brian Flores was just sending everybody Caleb Williams. Yeah. Run a screenplay one time. Like, try to help your guy out.
Flores is one of the – I mean, Flores should be a head coach again. Right? He's an unbelievable defensive coordinator for the Vikings.
I'm going to stay in this game for Monday night. Going back a little bit to what we talked about earlier, but I think J.J. McCarthy's already better than Sam Darnold was last season. I know that they had a great season last year. Hang on a second. That doesn't mean that they're going to have a better season than they did last year.
What about him, though?
But in terms of J.J. McCarthy and what he brought to the table, particularly from a leadership perspective, he is the team bought in on him, where I don't know if the team felt this way at all. I didn't see any moment last year where the team was rallying around Sam Darnold the way that it seems like they rallied around J.J. McCarthy in that moment yesterday. And I know that it's more from the leadership perspective and what he brought, but his confidence, it screams everything that Sam Darnold wasn't, J.J. McCarthy has that it factor where he's never going to see ghosts. He's never going to get flustered. He's locked in the moment, and he's not going to get flustered in that. And he might
one game. Were you saying that after three quarters?
Look, I'm with you.
I've been a believer in J.J. McCarthy this entire time that I think he's going to be fine.
Okay, so that's what it was more about. So look,
I think captured him going and doing what he did for flipping the script like that and growing in that moment.
Agreed.
In front of us, made it. I think I bought into the J.J. McCarthy is going to be a legit quarterback in the league for a long time, where Sam Darnold hasn't been a legit quarterback for a majority of his career.
So you had me like for 30% of that. Like I would say yes. The entire vibe and feeling about McCarthy is vastly different because of the final 15 minutes. He was awesome, game-winning touchdown run, made a big-time throw. Clearly, you know, you could see him settle in the game after throwing a pick six, which was really impressive. If I'm a Vikings fan, I'm very excited about what McCarthy can be. I think it's a bit of a stretch after 1 week to say he's already better than Darnold was last year. I want to remind you, Sam Darnold, for the first 12 weeks, people were making, even on this station, a legitimate case for MVP for Sam Darnold. He did have an unbelievable season a year ago. McCarthy, if you're saying who's going to have the better career, yeah, I'll go with that as well, because we already saw Darnold fail with the team that drafted him.
But he had 4,300 yards and 35 touchdowns.
If we're saying a season, though, Sam Darnold was a top 10 quarterback last year in the National Football League.
Statistically, he might have been top five.
Sure. Like I said earlier, it's not as much an on-field thing right now as it is the leadership thing. He's going to get better as the year goes on.
We're acting like Sam Darnold, like you're acting like we have evidence last year that the teammates around him were questioning him throughout the whole year.
There was never a moment that we saw him on national TV.
I can't wait to find a video of a locker room celebration.
The team went nuts over that. I think that there is more. It feels like there was nobody saying Aaron Jones was not going and voluntarily saying this dude came in the huddle and looked locked in and ready to go once for Sam Darnold last year. We didn't hear any of this stuff. So for me,
literally, just Google locker room celebration Sam Darnold. First article that comes up from last December. Vikings celebrate Sam Darnold after key win. More than 100 people were waiting in the Vikings locker room Sunday for one man, Sam Darnold, who was conducting a pair of on-field interviews after a big win against the Packers, 27-25. They waited for Sam Darnold as they waited for that. We felt like we waited for a long time. Darnold smiled through his post-game news conference with local reporters. It was mayhem in the locker room. I think I blacked out when players grabbed me and lifted me up. I didn't know what to do with my hands in that situation.
They rooted his ass.
And then he failed them in the playoffs. That's a different argument.
Again, that's not what you were arguing.
No, you must have missed my point, because I said the mindset for him to go and do what he did yesterday and to overcome the terrible start. Sam Darnold, we saw what he did after a great season, and it was laid the biggest egg possible in the playoffs. I'm not saying that he's going to be great, but right now, in terms of the leadership and the buy-in from that locker room, along with the talent that he has, which is more than Sam Darnold, some would argue, and Kevin O'Connell is the head coach, he is in a better spot to me than Sam Darnold was last year from a leadership perspective, the locker room buy-in, and I think it's only going to continue to grow from here.
That is all 32 in the NFL.
I might be wrong, but I'll tell you how I feel.
Nobody's saying you can't have an
opinion. J.J. McCarthy,
I can disagree with it.
The Bears did not lose that. The Bears lost the game, but J.J. McCarthy was absolutely a big reason as to why they won the game in the first place, because he figured it out.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
I'm saying somebody texted that in the text line.
Up next, let's talk about Travis Kelce and how many targets he did get and what we could expect moving forward. Plus the random question of the day right here on Cody and Gold.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll get to the random question of the day. We're 25 minutes away from Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, joining us in studio. He was in Brazil. I want to talk about that. That setup. We'll get into the conversation about maybe next year's international game and obviously see if Nate has any insight on Xavier Worthy, what the plan is. You know, he's going to roll with this group for a while. Would they be willing to look around? All that kind of stuff we'll get into again with Nate Taylor. Looking forward to having him on the show.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
So before we get to the random question of the day, Travis Kelce, we all know the offseason storyline. We know camp and the conversation about, hey, best shape of your life kind of stuff. Last year, we all agreed Rashee Rice was going to be who the offense ran through.
Pretty clear that was the case in the early
part of
the season.
Then he got hurt, and then they had to try to make it with Kelce. And he still had like a top 5-7 tight end season, but he was not the same, clearly, best tight end football. And I don't think we're going to see that this year. Neither one of us predicted that. But now that Rice is out, for another 5 weeks. Worthy, we don't know the timeline, but we think he's not going to play Sunday. We'll see, barring it. That'd be a shock. I would take it, but that'd be a shock. So is it going to be running through him again, and therefore will the targets go up? Because he only had four targets in this game on Friday. Now, he won more than any other receiver. I'm talking about win rate in his route, but it was still only 10% of the time. And if you're a defense, you're going to say, all right, we got Tyquan Thornton,
Hollywood Brown,
Juju Smith-Schuster and Hollywood Brown and Travis Kelce on the field, let's say, at the same time. Who am I still, even at age 35, more concerned about? Kelce, right? And so he'll have more than four targets on Sunday. I believe that, but I don't know if we should expect that. Like Hollywood Brown had 16 targets. Travis Kelce is not getting 15 targets on Sunday.
I guess what that needs to be though is closer. Travis Kelce averages like 100 targets a year. It's like six and a half targets a game. And so you're like, well, four versus 6.5, that's not some huge drop off. You're like, if I put it as a percentage, does it feel like a lot? That he was averaging 40% less targets than he historically averages in a course of an NFL season, especially when you consider that Hollywood Brown's win rate was even lower than Travis Kelce's, and he got four times the amount of targets that Travis Kelce got. I was just sitting there wondering after the game, and not just because they lost, but like, are we just done with Travis Kelce gets to see the ball six, seven, eight times a game, and we're down to this, let's use him four times, important moments, block up, this, that. And yeah, maybe there'll be the one or two games he gets 8 to 9 targets. But last year he had, I think you counted up, 4 to 6 games that were in that target range. That's what he's used to, where he gets 8 to 10, double digit, multiple games, where that's usually the case.
Yeah,
I don't know. It just felt like maybe in the moment I would have just thought, eh, they lean on Travis Kelce. And in that moment, they did the opposite. They just went to Hollywood Brown.
I think, though, the adjustment, though, let's recognize Worthy gets out play three. So the game plan is kind of out the window. Now you have a week. You know what you have going into this game. Not only adjustments, but you know the personnel that you have going in. Is there just a more concerted effort anyway? And is Travis Kelce just more, they're going to have to basically go back to a lot of the stuff they were using last year? You know, as frustrating as that was to watch, they still did move the football. And so are we going to see them kind of have to go back and look what worked to get Travis involved last year at times? But remember, the yards per catch were down drastically. Yards per catch in the regular season for Travis, 8.5. But he did have one, two, three, four, five games in double-digit targets. The game on Friday in which he had four would have tied him for the second fewest targets he had in a game all of last year. So I do think the targets will be up. I think it'll be in that like 7 or 8 range on Sunday against the Eagles.
That's what I would have anticipated in that. And look, maybe I just throw that game aside because it's a, oops, we lost our number one wide receiver for the game on the third play of the game. Now we're scrambling. Now we're out of our mode. Now we're behind. So Mahomes just has to go hero mode. Ball has to go wherever. And we're not inside our normal game plan. This game I do think will be more telling. How they distribute the ball against Philadelphia will be far more telling. Because the other part is, I wouldn't be surprised if it's more wide receivers in this game because Philly's biggest weakness on defense is they've got no corners. They got Quinyon Mitchell and a bunch of guys who can't cover. And so it would seem advantageous to go after them via wide receivers. So kind of expect that a little bit, but at the same time.
That goes back to the O-line. Yeah. And also, are those wide receivers winning, though? Can they win against this group of corners on Sunday? They better. They better find a way to do that. I think
if they want to win, they better. Now, I don't expect them to win all the time in that scenario.
The actual yardage, though, for Kelce, like, to me, this is kind of what it's going to be in a lot. Like, so we can talk about the targets, but we can always have fun with on-pace stats. But before the season, we all did our prediction stuff. And, like, I think he's, like, an 850 kind of receiver this year, which would put him probably fourth third among tight ends. Right now, it's one game. He's on pace for 800. He's also on pace for 17 touchdowns. But that's the pace that he's on. Like, we're talking about the targets, but it's weird because he had the long touchdown. Yardage wise, if he averages 40 yards to 50 yards a game, that is more than enough.
60 yards a game is pretty much what he averages in a normal Travis Kelce, 60 to 70, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah. Yes, across his career or something. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think we all recognize we're in a different spot of his.
Yards a game is 800 yards. That's about what he had last year. It's not way different. That's for a 16 game.
People on the text line
I never
asking,
counted for a 17 for him for whatever reason.
People on the text line asking, hey, are we just going to see more multiple tight end sets? Yeah, I think that'll be part of it on Sunday. Go back to, again, what they did last year, we're going to see a lot more of that for the next 5 weeks or so. It's frustrating.
If they win, I won't care.
It worked at times, though. We're going to see Noah Gray out on the field far more, I think, on Sunday.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, going back to the corner thing, I'm intrigued to see how much Adoree Jackson actually plays because they worked out Mike Hilton. Like, they're almost already, the Eagles are proactive in trying to fix their problems like immediately with the Tank Bigsby thing. And then
the Chiefs did it last year.
If they sign Mike Hilton, all of a sudden you don't got to work. Maybe they don't play Adoree Jackson, who was getting carved up single-handedly.
Mm-hmm. But it's always the same thing. If you're working out a guy who wasn't even on a roster and is on the street, it's not a guarantee that guy's an improvement over the guy who stinks for you.
Of course.
Like, I know that it's always like, it can't be worse. It can be, or it can be equally as bad for a guy who does, again, not have an NFL team. And the last time he was on an NFL team, that defense got carved up. It's not like he was on good defenses kicking ass. He was on bad defenses getting carved up like every other bad corner in the NFL. So, like, the Chiefs should, hypothetically, but here's the truth. These next 5 games, with definitely no Rashee Rice, and maybe a limited to no Rashee or Xavier Worthy, I'll take the slug out. If they're wins, they're wins. I'm officially in for the next 5, not for the whole season. I'd like to see some improvement at some point. For the next 5 games, Gold, I'm in slugout mode. I don't care if every game's 13-12. I don't care. I don't care what the final score is. It's about win time.
Do you trust the defense to do that?
No, I don't care if it's
one game.
He was just using the score. 50-49.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
They just have to find a way to stay afloat. Until they can, you know, I think, one, the defense has to come along.
That would be my big concern then, going into this one, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, the question on Sunday is going to be, as much as we're talking about the offense right this second, how much of what we saw defensively in the secondary was truly just terrible communication that they think they can get cleaned up pretty quick? Guys were running into each other. That will automatically just make him a little bit more competitive in terms of matching up with some of these receivers. All right, and it's not to mention they're facing some pretty damn good receivers. AJ Brown, I know he had one catch, but AJ Brown's a stud. Yes. Devonta Smith's a stud. Those
Dallas
no joke.
Goddard like, is, no was joke. A target. Speaking of target monsters, he had about 10 targets in that game against the Cowboys.
So it's a tall task. I mean, I'm actually more concerned still about the defense going into this game than the offense. I understand we saw the Super Bowl and the Eagles front dominated the Chiefs offensive line. I think the offense, they will shift this entire game plan now because they know going in they don't have Worthy. I think we are going to see more tight ends, and it's not going to be like the fun offense, but it might be the offense that gets it done. I'm more worried about, can Spags get this defense to correct enough to give you a shot on Sunday against Philadelphia?
I absolutely think that that's a portion of the conversation. I'm fascinated to see how they come out. The one thing they can't do is come out flat. Not after three members of the team said that they came out with not enough energy against the Chargers. That sure as hell better not be the case at home, yeah, at Arrowhead, yeah, against a team who kicked your ass in the Super Bowl. No reason, mm-hmm, to come out with a lack of energy for that one.
Random question.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, live stream 4 hours every single day. You might have heard us reading some of your comments over there. We'll take your thoughts there on the random question as well. Very simple. This show needs help. Sometimes it is just about me and a selfish answer I need out of the random question. Today, there are six of us who work at The Fan who need your assistance in what we should do next.
That's right.
So you might remember that Alex and I were in Las Vegas, and when the two of us were there, we entered the station as a six-man group into a pick'em contest, Circa Millions, over at Circa. Mm-hmm. Thousands of entries where you make five picks a week against the spread. We put in our picks. Mm-hmm. We thought it through. Mm-hmm. We went as a vote. Six of us put in three picks. We narrowed it down to the most popular ones. Then voted to figure out the fifth pick. Put them in. And we went what, Gold?
0-5, baby.
0-5.
Now, the good news is, and this
six
is
six people in sports talk radio.
The good news.
Zilch.
The good news is, and this is the issue with having six people involved, because you're having everybody submit picks. But the good news is there's quarterly prizes for finishing first. There's season long for finishing in the top 100. There's season long for finishing last. And there's quarterly for having the worst record as well. Now, a bunch of other entries went 0-5 because there's thousands of entries. However, if you finish last in the quarter, they have what they call the booby prize. It's $25,000. So the question is, should we go for the booby prize? We are 0-5.
Should we tank?
And should we tank for the next 3 weeks to try to get last place? Now, I did some research, Cody. Last year, each quarter, a couple of the records that were required. Last year, in second quarter, there were 25 picks. So there was actually 5 weeks for second quarter.
Okay.
This quarter, I don't know if it's 4 or 5, but quarter five or quarter two, 3-22 is the record needed to get the quarter two.
Okay, so you got to be pretty bad. 3-22. Okay, what was second quarter?
That was second quarter. Sorry. That was second quarter. So the question is, I think first quarter is only 4 weeks. I honestly don't know the exact week.
If you think about the math on it, it would only be 4 weeks. There's not enough time for it to get outside of
so
that.
So last year, two wins.
So two, and there was a tie. So 2-17-1. 3-22 in second quarter, and then it was three wins each of third and fourth quarter, right? Didn't we look this up earlier today?
Yeah, I have the document back in front of me. 3-17 was the record first quarter for last place. And you have to make picks every week. So there's some people, like, if you're thinking, oh, just don't make a pick. No. You have to still submit picks every week. I think we should go for everybody's on board except for our boss. Our boss says, no. Now, it's also hard to pick losers. It's the same thing.
It's the same problem in picking winners,
but I think we go for last place. Yep.
So
is Bink's on board with you guys in tanking?
We haven't asked Bink yet. We're waiting to ask Bink. I'm not sure how Bink's going to feel about it.
It resets each quarter, so after the quarter,
we can try to win next quarter.
Oh yeah, I think now, you guys should tank for sure.
So
yeah,
there's games that you feel like you feel confident in. I'm not saying you go the opposite on every single one, but if there's a game, like, for example, New England's a 1.5 point underdog at Miami on Sunday. We all saw Miami look terrible. New England lost, but they didn't look as bad as Miami. My guess is the public and a majority of people and everybody's thought process is, oh, New England, I'm getting 1.5. They're taking on Miami. There's no way they won't cover. I think we take New England because watch Miami win.
So in order to get
New England, we want New England to lose the bet.
What happens though? If Miami wins, but they win by 1 point, right, then you get, that would be brutal.
So in order to just get, let's say, like $3,000, the pricing jumps from like a couple $100, which doesn't do any good for six people, to $3,000, where at least there's a little bit of profit on the season for us. Mm-hmm. The teams who finished with a $3,000 profit last year finished 55-34-1, which means we, who have already lost the first five games, would have to finish the rest of the season 55-29-1. 55-29-1. So we got to get two out of every three picks right.
Or if someone said, just keep doing what we're doing, Cody.
Or if we get two out of every three picks wrong, we have a chance at 25 grand.
Yeah, we're better off going for the booby prize.
The whole way. We should tank the whole way. We should just pick losers the rest of the time.
Are you able to... What's the season end prize if you're...
Well, 100 grand.
For last place at the end of the year.
There are people that did 10 entries... with the intention of having some of these entries try for last. We obviously did not. Well, we just got off to a bad week one start. We're just saying for the quarter in particular, we might as well now try. We're already 0-5. Mm-hmm. If we went 1-4 the next two weeks, that puts us also in position to get it as well. You know what I mean? So
we're still going to have a couple of 0-5 weeks or another 0-5 week.
So
we stink at it.
No, here's why. So as much as it's funny to joke, like obviously, just keep doing what you're doing, guys. I will say this. With some knowledge of the league, you're not going to have four. If you actually are trying for picks, you believe you're not going to go four straight weeks of 0-5. Okay. You're not. If you're trying, we're going to end up with a bunch of 3-2 weeks, which is a killer and does nothing for anybody. We're better off trying on the flip side.
I think are we going to know your picks on Friday or are we going to get,
we submit picks Friday at 5:00.
So we can't really, we can tell you what the results are as of maybe Monday. We row for 0-4 going into the game last night.
Okay.
We had Chicago plus 1.5. I didn't cover.
You guys sound like a loser franchise tanking already.
You guys are the Browns.
You guys can laugh all you want now. If we get 25 grand, I don't care what you say.
No. Honestly, it's way funnier if this show of six sports radio people trying to make selections win money. But the only way we manage to win money is by being the worst.
It's going
to
work out either way.
By just being terrible.
We're either going to start trying to pick the losers and we're going to start winning. Or but we got, look, if we would have finished week one 3-2, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But now that you start 0-5, you are actually in a better position than I would say 70% of the entries to get the worst
to record. Get the best or the worst.
So worst record of for the quarter. I think we are better positioned than about 70% of the entries to get last place now.
If you were any team who started 2-3 or started 3-2, you have essentially eliminated yourself unless you are perfect in either category.
True.
From getting the top quarterly prize or the bottom quarterly prize. You're not screwed for the season-long standings, but you can't get the quarter. We are in play for the movie prize in the quarter. If we just continue to be terrible.
The team name is just 96.5 The Fan. We just did that. Yeah, we just did that. Look, we all know the joke. It is obvious. We make these picks and we'll go 5-0 this week or something when we try to actually go 1-5.
Tough week. How'd you do in the rest of your fantasy? Because I know we went 0-5 in our picks as a team.
It was a mixed
bag. And you got chopped week one in guillotine.
Mixed bag.
Did it go okay in the other
mixed
places?
Bag. So here's where we're at. We had 0-5 in our six picks that we did as a station. I had one guillotine, I'm alive. The other one that we do as a show got chopped by 1 point.
Not even a point, or maybe
two fantasy leagues I won, one I lost. All six of my survivor entries are alive.
And the Chiefs lost, and
the Chiefs and the Kansas
Jayhawks. I'd say overall, not a great sports weekend for you.
Survivor might be my bread and butter. Just gonna have to roll with that. I have six entries for $30,000 pot, and I have 5% stake in the Circa Millions.
And you're alive,
and I'm alive. All of them. Steelers was the pick that they used.
Okay,
I don't get a pick. The one that is Circa Survivor.
Steelers, that was a sweat.
I only own 5% of that entry, so I do not get any say in the picks for that one. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know.
Do you have a? Can you even like send an email? And be like, good
luck. As we get further down the road, I'll be in communication.
Okay. So if he makes it to like week 9 or 10, can you sell?
I can keep buying more share too.
He sold his share. Can you sell your share?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm just trying to track this.
Yeah. If we get to week 10 in Survivor and there's only 500 entries left and it has an implied value of like 50 grand, I can sell 5%. I'll take my 5% and walk away.
Somebody says instead of suck for luck, it's suck for a buck. I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be Speck is the only one who isn't officially on board. We have not heard from Bink. I wanted to clear.
I'll be honest.
I think it's against Bink's nature.
I think Bink will be against it too.
The problem is, look, as much as I will, there's no, we're not going to finish top 100 as in being good at the end of the year. We looked it up. You have to be 30 above, but even then the 90th place last year, you know what they split? They split $193. It's not.
Doesn't do anything.
We're better off going for the worst.
I think that what's going to happen is you guys are going to ask Bink if he's okay with tanking, and I think Bink is so against it that he'll be like, I'm not even going to give you picks. Just pick whatever you want, and I'm all for it. And he's just going to let you guys do whatever.
Nobody's going to complain.
I don't think he even wants to suggest anything.
If we somehow went 1-4 or 0-5 this coming week, I can promise you we will have everybody will be fully on board then. Everybody fully. I think Spec just wants us to turn around and have like a 5-0 week and say, "See, we're good." But I want a 1-4, 0-5 week coming up, and then we're in position for the last prize.
Cody, prize. Have you put in any bids yet for the Guillotine League?
I have not yet.
You guys gonna cipher this?
I'm not interested in Justin Jefferson.
We are trying to.
Justin Jefferson's available. Thanks.
Is there any other good players?
You're not interested in Justin Jefferson.
I said I'm not interested. Oh, okay.
You guys can pull two off my roster. He sucked.
Pass.
Kenneth Walker sucked.
Pass.
Tyrone Tracy sucked.
Pass.
Justin Jefferson was fine. Cedric Tillman was good. Jake Ferguson.
The Browns play the Ravens this week. So if you're looking for a 1 week survival, then Cedric Tillman might be the guy. Actually.
Sometimes I just let the roster 2 week live, you know, just let my squad stand.
All right. Up next, Nate Taylor from ESPN going to join us in studio. We'll ask him about Xavier Worthy, what the path looks like moving forward for him and how the Chiefs will approach Sunday differently.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.